dancing, and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword be in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather and worship you again this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you provide words and praise for us to strengthen our faith in our everyday walk with you. We ask that in this coming week, Lord, we'll be having a new word from you and be able to praise you in a new way. Please strengthen our faith. Please watch over Pastor Anjiki as he gives the message this morning and bless him. Allow us to be able to have our ears open to hear from you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. The front seats are open, it seems, but probably people are just scared I'll spit at them, so that's probably why it's open. I do have a shield guard on, so I think it is a safe place to sit if you're interested in getting a closed seat. Anyway, coming in later is also welcome to sit there as well. It looks like we have about 7 seats open at this time. You're welcome to sit in front. Last week, I watched the news on TV, and I saw that in Texas, it snowed. Oh, I was so surprised to see snow in Texas. But it's possibly due to something to do with the global warming or some phenomenon such as that. I have another story about Texas today, actually. It's from the 1900s, and it was about a bank robbery by the George Rodriguez gang, and it was a very famous incident. So this guy, George, was actually Mexican, and he came to the U.S. and was working there and was going to rob the bank and then go back to Mexico. And the security forces of the United States were having trouble trying to locate him and to arrest him. And they're just kind of at a loss of what to do. And they're like, where is this guy? And so one of the leaders of the security forces gave out this order that it was fine to not even arrest him, just kill the guy when they find him. So there was one investigator who was went to this bar, and he saw the guy drinking there at the bar. So he's like, yeah, I found this guy. And so the investigator went in, put up a gun, and held it up right to the guy's head. And he's like, okay, I've got you. He says, tell me where you put the money you stole from the bank, or I'll shoot you. So that's what he said. And so the guy, George, realized what was going on. He put up his hands, and he was like, okay, I'll confess what happened. However, there was a problem. So George Rodriguez could only speak Spanish, and the investigator could only speak English. And so they didn't understand what each other were saying, but based on the circumstances, the guy could kind of figure out that if he had a gun against his head, likely he just needed to confess and give in. And so he kind of, you know, figured out what he needed to say, but didn't know how to say in English. And there was actually this other guy in the bar who saw what was going on, and he's like, oh, well, I speak English and Spanish, so I can translate for you. And so he said to George Rodriguez, well, if you The investigator said, I'll save your life if you just tell me where they put the money, and if not, I'll shoot you and kill you. So as long as you tell me where the money is, you'll be fine. And so the guy listening was like, okay, I understand what you said. And then he tells, and so George Rodriguez says, I haven't used any of the money. Actually, I went to this well in town, and if you face north and you count back 5 rocks from that space under the ground, that's where I buried all the money. It's under the 5th rock. And so he says, okay, I just told you the truth, so save my life. And so the interpreter, however, instead of interpreting what he said that George Rodriguez said, well, he said, I'm not going to give in or tell you where the money is. If you want to kill me, just go ahead and kill me right now. And I'm all ready for it. And so he said, that's what the guy's saying. And so the investigator was all upset. And he just shot him and killed him right on the spot. So there ended up being only one person who knew where the money was, and that was the interpreter. Rodriguez, of course, the crime he committed was very bad, but the interpreter was just a total liar. And because of his lie, this man was killed. However, in this world, we know that there is an even greater liar, and he's just giving out on many people, confusing many people. And that's the devil, because the devil is just lying to people every single day around the world. He's saying there's no God. And even if there is a God, he doesn't have any relation to you. He's not love. And Jesus Christ isn't the Savior. And so many people, unfortunately, are just in totally confusion because of all these lies. Jesus Christ described the devil by saying that he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that you have to be careful. In today's passage, we're looking at Psalm 149, and we're almost done with Psalms altogether. But the content of the Psalm today is reflecting on those who are saved or redeemed people and how they are singing out to God. That's because they know that God has the power to overcome the devil. And it's a psalm that reminds us of that and teaches us that. That's one of the main themes of Psalm 149. So the Lord has allowed us to be able to praise God because he has the power to overcome the devil. And the psalmist here is wanting us to remember and realize that. So first, let's just kind of think about one thing. How about music? When did music start? Who did it start from? And what are the roots of it? The book of the Bible actually has the origin or start of many different things told. It says exactly how this earth began, how space was created and came, and it tells how the roots of these things came to be. On the world, there's a lot of people as well. And the Bible also explains where they came from and how it all started. The Bible just tells us many different things of the origin of many things. It tells how humans were born male and female and explains why as well. The Bible has a lot of explanations about these things. It also explains why there is evil and why humans sin. It explains why humans are tempted to sin. That reason is also written in the Bible. Around the world, there are many different languages, and they're all quite different. And the Bible explains why there are. It'd be really useful if there was just one way to talk, but there's so many different ways. The reason is written in the Bible. And as for music, where it started? Well, it also has its origin in the Bible, noted it as well. For example, if you look at Job 38, you can see what God was speaking to Job about. Let's read just a little bit of that. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand, Job. And then later, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So he's just asking Job, where were you when all these things happened? So the content here is that God is the creator, and when he created the earth, these stars, and here it's actually referring to the angels, they were watching what God was creating, and they were singing of joy at that time. And that is the actual root or the origin of music and songs of praise. So songs were actually originated from angels who were so impressed with what God was doing that they sang out and to express that. So music originated as praising music, praising God. So, and regardless of the age, God's amazing creation of the world encourages us to praise him. In verse 2 of today's passage, it says, "Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King." So our Creator, God, is the one that we should be excited about and find joy in and want to express it in praise. In other words, music was created for the purpose of praising God. However, in recent days, most of the music that is played, and actually pretty much all of it, is not the case. So why is it that music is turned into something that is completely opposite of what it should have been? Well, it's because the devil stole music. The devil, before he fell, was one of the leaders of the angels, and his name is Lucifer. However, Lucifer, who was in charge of music, at one point in time became very prideful, and he was sent to earth as punishment by God for that, and then his name was changed to Satan. In the Old Testament, it has records of this. And let's look at, for example, not Isaiah, but Ezekiel. Twelve. "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. Your heart became proud on account of your body, so I threw you to the earth." In other words, Lucifer was very beautiful and was very cleverly made. And he was looked at himself and he was like, "Wow, I'm just so amazing that I myself could become God." And he challenged God. Of course, regardless of how intelligent or beautiful you are, you can't compete with God. And it was impossible for him to become God. So Lucifer was taken judgment upon by God and thrown to the earth as Satan. All of the angels who were following him also fell to the earth. And so music, which was ultimately to praise God and only for that purpose, fell. So the original content of music, trying to change it back to how it was supposed to be, was actually attempted by David, because he created choirs and he created orchestras. And he had directors of music, and he encouraged them to sing out to God. And he was trying to resurrect music and get it back to its original state. That was his intent. Because originally, you know, music was created for that purpose, and David realized it. In 1 Chronicles 13:8, it says, "David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs, with harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets." In Psalm 149, the psalmist here in verse 3 says, "Let them praise his name with dancing, and make music to him with timbrel and harp." In in today's passage, there's one phrase I'd like you to pay attention to. It's in verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song." What is it, a new song? And what does it mean to sing a new song? Well, actually, this phrase is mentioned several times in the Psalms. If a new song is actually literally taken, you would think we need to have a new song every single week when we want to praise God and just create songs just like left and right all the time. That would be really hard, wouldn't it? However, this phrase of a new song actually is explained in the Bible. If you look at Psalm 43, it says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." So in other words, a new song is a song that's given to God. And it's a song sung by somebody who has been saved. So anyone who is in God is a new being, newly created. Any of us who have believed in Jesus Christ, we're all new. We're all brand new. And so when we sing to God, those are all considered to be new songs. For example, even if the song we sang is something that was created hundreds of years ago, when we sing it, it's considered to be a new song before God. In other words, when singing, in order to be able to sing a new song, it has to be done by somebody who is new. And only Christians are new and can sing these new songs. When it means to sing out songs of praise, it means that we come before God's presence. And the way we can come before God and be in His presence is to sing songs of praise. And Psalm 104 reminds us of that by saying, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." So He's encouraging us to come before Him and sing out and praise. Regardless of the country, most people in the countries never have an opportunity to meet the king or the president of their country. For example, if we want to meet the emperor of Japan, we can't just go to Tokyo and say hi. And like, that's just not going to happen. And on TV, sometimes it shows when people who do meet the emperor, it's like they're not wearing normal clothes. You know, men are wearing like traditional Japanese wear, and women are wearing like a really nice dress or a traditional Japanese kimono or something. So it's not just the clothing that they're wearing, but there's all these different mannerisms and all these different rules you have to follow in order to meet just the Emperor of Japan. For example, when people in England want to meet the queen there, they can't just go up to the palace. There's all these different rules and formalities and steps you'd have to go through in order to be able to meet somebody of that stature. Most people wouldn't have the opportunity, therefore, to meet somebody of such stance in their country. So, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, how can we meet such a God? Well, it's with praise. When we sing out songs of praise, God opens us to us. His presence is with us. And it says that He lives in our praise. So regardless of where we go, you know, of course, when we're here at church, that's one option. But even when you're singing at home, it's still the same. Regardless of where you are, wherever you sing out songs of praise, heaven opens up before you. And the King of Kings and the King of Kings is there. In today's passage, in verse 1 again, it says, "His praise is in the assembly of His faithful people." And this is just indicating worship. In verse 5, it says, "Let His faithful people rejoice in honor and sing for joy on their beds." So, that would apply to kitchens or in living rooms or workplaces or anywhere you happen to be then. Anywhere you are, if you sing out to God, then that will bring His presence there. Songs of praise are things that create a strong connection between us and God. It's a tool used to do so. However, in America, there's a city by the name of Seattle. It's on the West Coast. And there's the world's largest passenger plane assembly factory by the name of Boeing. It's extremely large. And in this factory, they have a huge building where they can have 8 planes constructed at the same time in one building. When they're completed, then there's all these different tests that the planes have to pass in order to be flown for passenger flights. And, you know, sometimes you hear stories of things that have gone wrong thereafter. But in order for those things not to happen, they have to do destructive testing take place. So they take these completely formed airplanes and they put, like, the wings weight them down with weights and tie them down with chains, and they bring them up and down and up and down and up and down, and they figure out just how many times they can withstand such force before they break. So they have these really difficult tests that planes have to be able to pass in order to be able to become official passenger planes, and even still sometimes problems happen. So do you know who actually flies planes? It's not pilots. It's actually a person on the ground. The control tower, who's in the controller tower, it's the air traffic controller. He has the speed of the plane, the takeoff, the landing, everything. And according to his instructions, the pilot flies the plane. However, if the pilot says, no, just let me do what I want and I don't want to listen to you, then there would instantly be an accident. So there has to be a strong connection between the pilot and the air traffic controller. And it's similar to between us and God. We say, oh, this is my life. I just want to fly it and drive it and go on it however I want. But then we have all these accidents in our lives because we have all these different problems when we try to do everything on our own. So in order to not have accidents, we have to listen to our air traffic controller. And that's God. And so how is it that we can hear from God? Well, that's how we sing out praises to him. When we sing out praises to him, his heaven opens up and we can hear his voice. We can be able to receive his guidance. And that's through songs of praise. Songs of praise provide us with amazing opportunities. One other instance to look at here is that thing to remember is that God has the power to deny the devil and of his power. In verse 6, it says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. So the soldiers in heaven are the ones that have swords, right? You know, it's not just the normal person that would have a sword in their hand, right? You get arrested for something like that. And if you're throwing a sword around, you have to be a soldier, right? And so the psalmist here is actually saying that our songs are actually weapons in our hands and in our hearts. And these are weapons against the devil's work. It's power against the devil. So it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And praise is extremely important. There are many different examples of this in the Bible. For example, in the Old Testament, there was the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and he was up against the Moabites and the Ammonites. And before fighting, he realized that he was actually at a huge disadvantage, and he knew that he would lose regardless of what he did. He knew that the number he was up against was just too great. And so before even starting the battle, he realized that he wasn't going to win. And as a leader, he didn't know what to do. For example, if you think about the Japanese baseball system and the teams, you would know exactly who's going to win and who isn't. So it's likely Jehoshaphat knew exactly what was going to happen. And he realized he was in a bad position. But a prophet came up to him and said, God is with you, Jehoshaphat. And so make a choir and put them before your army. And you would never see a choir going in front of an army, right? But that's what they did. They were supposed to go out and praise God. And Jehoshaphat listened to what the prophet said, and he accepted it at word for word and did so. So he made the choir, and he put them out right in front of the army. And they were singing out songs of praise as they walked on to the battlefield. So what happened? Well, the first line of the enemy started fighting against each other, and they killed each other. And so Jehoshaphat's army went forward, but there was no more enemy. They had killed each other. And there was a whole lot of leftover things that they were able to get in return. They were able to take all of the enemy's leftovers and take it back home. So they came out really well in the battle. This is because Jehoshaphat had a choir going before the army, singing out praises of God. So there is always a connection between the visible world and the invisible world, and the results of different things impact each other as well. And so while the choir was singing and praising God, this allowed a physical victory or visual victory as well, as the enemy and destroyed itself. Paul and Silas, when they went to Philippi, they were convicted and put into a prison and beaten. And they had things put on their wrists and arms. They were handcuffed. But in the middle of the night, it says that they were singing out to God. And then suddenly an earthquake occurred. And all of the prison doors opened. And all of the prisoners' handcuffs fell apart. But none of them ran away. None of them escaped. If this was just some like natural phenomenon, then all of the prisoners would have just left, right? But the prisoners realized that this earthquake was not just something that was a natural phenomenon, but rather the result of the psalms of praise, songs of praise that Silas and Paul had been singing. So it's obvious that the Holy Spirit was there. Because of this, one of the jailers there, he and his whole family became baptized and believed in God. So you could see how this invisible world actually gave victory to the physical world. The songs of praise that you have to sing actually have huge power. Please don't underestimate it. There's a lot of strength and power in songs of praise. So especially when you're having a tough time, sing out to Him. It's easy to sing out songs of praise when you're happy or everything's going with you. It just comes naturally, right? But especially when you're in times of difficulty and hardship, and when you're facing problems, that's especially a good time to sing out songs of praise to God. Because when you do so, then you'll be able to have God's throne open out before you, and God's assistance and blessing will be able to come to you. On June 11th, 1988, in the Wembley Stadium in London, United Kingdom, a concert was held. And the attendance were in the number of around 70,000, and it was a 12-hour concert. Pretty amazing, huh? 70,000 people in 12 hours. Crazy, huh? There was all different musicians that would come and go throughout the 12 hours. And the concert's purpose was actually to help provide support for the abolition of the South African apartheid. So it was a plan to stop the discrimination against black people. And so there was a lot of pressure put on the government to stop this. So one of the things to help further this was the concert to support this abolition of the apartheid. So there were various different musicians that came on stage, but most of the musicians were like heavy metal or hard rock, or they had electric guitars and basses and drums, and it was just super loud music. And it was all like really like heavy bass, loud sound that just kind of continued for 12 hours, literally. The people there were just a mess because they were drunk with alcohol. And then some of them actually were using drugs. So it was just a really loud group of people. And it continued for 12 hours, as I said. And very last singer then came to the stage. And it was a black singer. And she started to sing songs of praise. And it was totally different from all the other music that had been played for 12 hours straight. There was no accompaniment. So when she came to the stage, she was just singing a cappella with one microphone and no accompaniment. And first, people were like, get off the stage, you know, get out of here. And they were just really rude to her. However, she didn't stop. As she was singing, though, all of a sudden, the stadium started to get really quiet. And in the end, they all started singing along with her. The song she was singing was Amazing Grace. And the person singing was by the name of Jesse Norman. And actually, you can see the image of it on YouTube, and you can watch a portion of it here. We'll show on the screen. We'll turn off the lights so you can see it.